Well, as Parliament moves to block certain climate lawsuits against major emitters, well, a separate case brought by Mike Smith awaits a Supreme Court decision. We're joined by Mike to discuss accountability, human rights and the future of climate action in this country. Thanks for your time again. Tuakana, tēnā koe, Mike.
Mōrena tau, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. Just talking with Barry Barton, a professor of law at Waikato University, about where we're at with this issue and the wider issue as well. Of course, we know that your case has been stymied by legal tweaks, legislative tweaks, but you've described these two legal battles as highlighting a growing accountability problem, Mike. Why is it so important in your view, Eho, that the court remains a pathway for challenging climate harm and government action on climate change? Call it all my, Mike.
Oh, well, exactly, Dale. You know, if we had a responsible government, you know, they'd be leaning right into the solutions and providing, you know, the mitigation required to ensure that climate change doesn't get any worse. And that's got to be the priority, make sure it doesn't get worse. And then secondly, to provide the assistance to communities that are already impacted by what we've experienced so far, but they're not. And because they're not, and because the companies aren't taking responsibility for their atmospheric pollution, which is at the heart of the matter, well, then we've had to resort to the courts to try and get binding remedies from the courts to both challenge the government to do more and to challenge the companies to stop wrecking our world, essentially.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So they've changed the legislation, but you've still got a case in train. Some of our listeners might be struggling a bit to get their head around that. We thought that your case had been chopped off at the knees. It appears not so.
Yes, well, I've had two cases before the court. One of them is called Smith versus Fonterra, and that's the case that's holding the actual companies that are causing the problem to account, and that's the one that the government killed at the request of the companies. The second case is Smith versus the Attorney General, and so that's the one holding the government to account for the fact that they're not doing enough. So there's two cases that are currently in train. The first one has been killed off, as I say, by the government, although the Labor Party has said that if they get into power after the election, they'll reinstate the case. So it's not completely over for that one. We just had the hearing for the second case. I know it's a bit complicated, but we had the second case hearing last week in front of five of the country's top judges. And so... But that's an appeal to have a full hearing, and they're considering that, and they've reserved their decision, so that means that they'll go away and think about it, and then they'll get back to us sometime over the next weeks or months as to whether or not that case is going to proceed.
Yeah, often the court system works at a glacial pace. Now, your Supreme Court case, Mike, raises issues about the right to life, the treaty. How this is involved. And, of course, our Māori cultural rights. What are the real-world consequences for communities, particularly tangata whenua, Mike, if climate risks are not adequately addressed?
Well, you know, I was just... I'm down and waiting to go to the Te Aotea College down in the Hastings, here to Here Te Tonga. I'm speaking to the Assembly of the Young Rangatahi there this morning. But as I was travelling down, I was in Hastings yesterday, I spoke to a man who was homeless on the side of the road. And he's homeless because his marae, his whānau house and their lands were wiped out in a landslide around about the same time as the storm that brought that slip down on Mount Maunganui in Tauranga. And so that was a pretty graphic example, real-time example of a man who's now homeless. He's a man who looks like he's between his 50s and his 60s. He's out on the street. He's got nowhere to live, and so that's a real-time result. But even more alarmingly, I heard this morning that three people died in this last cold snap that we had, frozen to death by the cold, you know, homeless people that are out there with no place to live. So, I mean, it's bad enough with the homelessness and the unaffordability because of the cost of living, but these things are exacerbated by extreme weather events. And these extreme weather events are killing people. And that's just, you know, this month, three people froze to death, one in Christchurch, one in Cuba Street in Wellington, and another one in Auckland. And they were people in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And I mean, you know, I'm just struggling to get my head around it, tell you the honest truth, Dale. You know that we're in a country that's where the government is so blind to the impact that that's happening, and they're doing so little about you know, providing real solutions to these problems. Their solution to homelessness, for example, is to move people along. They don't say where they're meant to go. They should be making sure that they've got somewhere dry and safe to sleep, rather than just chasing them out of so that people can't see them. So, I mean, these are some of the real time effects over the last couple of weeks, though.
Yeah, gee, Mike, you put this case together, and many legal minds working pro bono as well to support your case. And, you know, you've been prepared to put your name forward and bear the brunt of anti-environmental and anti-Māori sentiment, places you, for some political parties anyway, or politicians, as sort of public enemy number one, Mike. But do you think it is worth more people, again, investigating whether they too could put a case forward that challenges climate change denial, that also sees the compromising of Māori attitudes and treaty rights, human rights as well. I mean, you're front and centre in this. Would you like more people to do what you're doing?
Well, I guess if the courts are closing their doors to us, if the government is passing laws that mean that the courts can't hear cases like this, well, that just means that we go into the court of public opinion, which is, in my opinion, a way more powerful forum to be resolving these issues. Because unlike a court where only lawyers and judges can speak, in the court of public opinion, we've all got a say about it. And so I completely agree with your sentiment that more and more people should be having these conversations, should be, you know, taking part in wānanga to understand the implications of the climate emergency and what it means for us. I mean, we've only got to look around the world to look at the fires that are sweeping around the place, the El Nino that's about to dry out Aotearoa, and it's going to mean that we're probably in line for fires and things. And so at the end of the day, I've got more confidence in our communities that we're going to pick up the we've got the courage and the ability to rise to the challenge and to deal with it. You know, our firefighters, I mean, they're not government officials, they're not politicians. It's going to be the people that fight these things. Like, it's going to be the people that find solutions to homelessness, because the government's just not doing it. They're walking away. But one of the things we can do, I mean, we're in an election year, and we can make sure that, A, that we're enrolled to vote, and B, that we do vote for governments that's not going to cause us harm, and who are going to face these social and environmental problems, you know, problems, you know, our issues with Te Tiriti o Waitangi. We need to vote for parties that are supportive of these things, and we need to get rid of this coalition government that's doing so much damage. You know, David Seymour, 8% of the population support him, but look at the carnage that he's doing to our country, the damage that he's doing. And I read a comment yesterday, but he's calling on his supporters to, he's put out a call to arms, you know, and that's inflammatory language. But it's got to be seen against some comments that he made a couple of months ago when he said, when he was challenged about some of his policies possibly leading to civil war, and he didn't sound too perturbed about that. He sounded quite encouraging of that. And so he's an extremely dangerous and reckless politician that's doing extreme harm to our country, and the sooner we bounce him out of, yeah, we need to put people like that as far away from power as we can get them.
Interesting. Hey, all the best with your kōrero to our young men down there at Tauti. I'll follow through on that next time around. But thanks for your updates on where the case is at. And, of course, just a reminder too that it's an election year. This is a big, big challenge for our people. Let's all rally. Mike Smith, environmentalist and proud support of Tangata Whenua rights across time with us today. Thanks again, Tuakana. I appreciate your thoughts, Mike.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. Bye.